Please turn in the Word of God to 1 John chapter 1. We read the portion of God's Word that's marked verses 1 through 10. This is the living, perfect Word of God. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the Word of life, the life was made manifest. We have seen it, testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us. Amen. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. This is the message that we have heard and that we proclaim to you. This was not an idea that John had. It was not something that he had sat down and devised through his own thought processes. He had not been challenged to deal with these men who were attacking the very foundations of the gospel and the church that he was speaking to, and decided among himself or with conjunction with other apostles that this is the answer we have to bring. This message we have heard, that message was received from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That which He had heard, that which He and others had seen, that which He and others had beheld, looked upon intently, that which He and others had touched. This message had come from God. God in the person of Jesus Christ spoke concerning the being of God the Father, concerning the being of God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And the statement was simple. The statement was clear. It was unambiguous. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. This message means that anyone who says they have a relationship with God must be very clear about their relationship with sin. Since God is light, and all His being is light, and all His essence is light, and all His attributes are infused with light, and all His characteristics are endued with light, then those who would have a relationship with God, a fellowship with God, a communion with God, have personal interaction with God, they must be very clear as to their understanding of their relationship with that which is darkness. In John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, John addresses three statements beginning with the words, "If we say." We considered in the course of our view, our consideration of this passage this morning, the first of those "if we say" statements. Verse 6, "If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." It is impossible to say, "I love God," and not walk in the ways of God. It's impossible to say, "I have a saving knowledge of God," and not think and speak and act in a way that clearly demonstrates and evidences that light in your own life. To say, "I know and love God who is light, and I cherish my relationship with Him, and yet I walk in ways that are marked by darkness," is to lie. Is to lie to oneself, and is to lie to all other of humanity. You cannot say you know the light and live in the darkness. But John doesn't simply rest in facing this issue. He goes on to address the other two statements which he identifies with "if we say" statements. The first one is in verse 8. "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." And verse 10, "If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us." Now I want to look at each of these two statements this evening. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The claim to not be a sinner is, John says, a deceptive claim. It's not simply the telling of a lie. There is in the denial of being a sinner the fact that the person is clearly expressing that they do not understand what sin is. When someone says, "I am not a sinner. We have no sin," then what that person is saying about their nature and their character clearly demonstrates that they do not understand the truth concerning who they are as a human being. When they say, "I am not a sinner, I am a good person," they are living in self-delusionment. They are living in self-denial. They are living in a mindset which is unreal. That, you see, is the reason why Christianity is reality. We tend to look at the world, and the world says to us, you're living in an unreal place. You're not accepting the truth of what exists in the world. You're not accepting the reality that the world is. That is the perversion of the lie of Satan, because it's only those who, by the grace of God, have come to confess their sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting the reality of sin in their own lives, who are really, truly facing the reality of the condition of man in his original state. To say that there is no sin in man is to state that which is factually not true. It is to deny that which is not true. And when a person states that there is no sin in them, that they are not a sinner, they are not telling the truth. They are deceiving themselves of the truth. And we need to be clear about that. We need to be crystal clear about that fact. And what needs to happen is that they need to be brought into the light, who is God, and under the light of His Word, they need to be exposed to that light in order that they will be faced with the reality of who they are. People of their own volition, their own will, cannot reach a point where they will suddenly come to the realization that I am a sinner. They cannot do it. The reason why they cannot do it is because they are held in bondage to that sin. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus in chapter 2, and he says that we were under, by nature, under the wrath of God, and that we were held in dominion, under the dominion, and by bondage to sin. That's the condition of every human being. They are held bound in spiritual chains to darkness. And they cannot break free from that bondage. They cannot reach a point where they of themselves will decide, I am a sinner, because the darkness that veils their hearts and their minds is to such an all-encompassing degree that they are incapable of realizing the truth concerning themselves. And even if Satan was to say to them, okay, I will give you the opportunity to find out the truth. I will give you the opportunity to work it out for yourselves. I will set you free from the bondage I have you in. Not that he ever will, because his whole purpose in life is to destroy man who is made in the image of God. But if he were, let's play the what if scenario, the hypothetical will never take place. Even if Satan was to say to a human being, you are free today, I'm going to give you 24 hours, I'm going to give you a pass out of this bondage, I'm going to unlock the shackles of your heart and your mind, you go and find the truth. The fact is, it wouldn't make any difference. Because not only are we held in bondage to sin, we are dead in our trespasses and sins, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2. And so even if we were free, the fact that we are dead in our trespasses and sins would mean that we wouldn't do anything about it. Because that which is dead doesn't live and act and think. So the reality is that when someone says, I am not a sinner, they are deceiving themselves of the reality of the truth of the gospel. The good news that tells them that they are a sinner. And there's nothing they can do about that. There's nothing that they can do about that. There's nothing that they can do about that. conceived in sin, living in sin, dead in sin, under the bondage of sin and Satan, and there is nothing that they can do about that. They need to be brought in to the light. They need to hear the truth of the eternal word. They need to be exposed to that which will reveal to them the truth of who they are. For only God, by the Spirit, can make them, by renewal of the mind and regeneration of the heart, alive to the reality of their sin. Only God, by the power of the gospel preached, that which Paul was not ashamed of, can use that gospel as the instrument to integrate into their heart and their mind, and by the work of the Spirit, convict them of the knowledge of the reality of who they truly are. Up to that point, they're veiled. Paul writes to the church at Corinth and says they are veiled. They do not see it. They do not hear it. It's as though they're watching a great performance on the stage. The band's up there playing. The orchestra's in full flow. The music is scintillating. It's captivating. But there's not one note that's passing into their ears, because that curtain that separates them from the stage is down. And they can sit there and they can look at it and they'll not hear anything really. They'll hear a sound, but it's a muffled sound. There's no connectivity to the words. There's no penetration to the notes. The melody doesn't mean anything. The signs are just that, signs. And they say, I am not a sinner. They are speaking what they perceive to be the truth. For in their deadness, they are not a sinner. In their bondage, they are not a sinner. And they must be set free from that reality. Only as God intervenes and lays His hand upon them, as we sang this morning in Psalm 72, only as God lays His hand upon them will they become both able and willing to recognize the truth concerning who they are. 13th of September, 1994, 20 years ago yesterday, I accepted the call to be the minister of this church. I had a very wonderful experience in the early years of my ministry in this church. Early in my ministry, I began going round the homes of the people in the church. And I would take the Word of God with me. And my goal was to bring God's Word to bear in people's lives. I would take physically Bibles. And I would go and I would invite people to read the Bible. And we would discuss it. I can remember one of the first homes I went into, one of the individuals in that home, when I brought to them the knowledge of the fact that they were a sinner, they were very, very irate and angry. They left me in no uncertain terms that I was never again in their home to tell them that they were a sinner. A few years later, I was having a conversation with that same person. It was the front of the church. It was a matter of weeks before they suddenly died. And that person said to me, "You'll never know, Andrew, the type of conversation I had the other day." This person said, "I was standing at the bus shelter and I was talking to this lady." She obviously knew the lady. And And I said to her after we talked, your problem is that you're a sinner. And that you need to know God. And this lady said to me, do you know what the woman said, Andrew? She said, don't tell me I'm a sinner. And I thought, as I was being told that, a little smile came across my face and I thought, there's the reality of the gospel. There's the joy of the gospel. There's the wonder of the gospel. That even someone in the latter stages of their lives who had worshipped in this building for decades, by the grace of God, came at that point in their life to understand, I am a sinner. And there is a way of salvation. And that is in Jesus Christ. And I would say to you tonight, deep within your heart, are you still saying, I'm not a sinner? Because the people who were telling this to the people in the church here were people who said they believed in God. The people that John is speaking to here are not the world. They are people who had sat in the church. They were people who said they believed in God. And yet they were now saying, we are not sinners. Do not deceive yourself. Do not be deceived by the lie that is perpetrated by the enemy of your soul. Look to the truth. Look at what it says in verse 9. It says, if you're willing to confess your sins, if you're willing to admit the truth, in the mercy and grace of God, if a spirit works in your heart this evening, that you behold the truth concerning yourself, if his hand would come upon you, that you would acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner, if he would give you the mind and the heart to receive that which is true, that you were born into iniquity, that you have been since the moment of your conception a sinner, if you are by the grace of God brought to that point tonight where you are for the first time, whether you've sat in this church on many, many occasions, whether you're a member of this church, whether you're here because of recent whatever activity, it doesn't make one iota of difference. If God works in your soul tonight and he communicates to you that which is true and you stop the practice of self-deception and you come by the grace of God to believe that you're a sinner, then look what he says in verse 9. If you're willing to admit this, if you're willing to confess this with your lips, then he, that is God, is faithful and just to cleanse the debt of that sin and to remove the stain of the reality of that sin. He is faithful to himself and to his own love. He is faithful to his own covenant promises. In the Old Testament, thousands of years ago, God said to Jeremiah, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. That's God's promise. And God is being faithful to his promise tonight if he speaks to you and says to you, you're a sinner, come to me tonight in the name of Jesus Christ and confess that sin, then you are guaranteed, not on the foundation of what I think or say, but you're guaranteed on the faithfulness of God to the covenant promises that have been in his heart from before the foundation of the earth and have worked out every day and time since. You have full confidence in the word of God. Because why? Because he is light. He is truth. In him there is no darkness. And you can come to him tonight and you can confess this sin. You can confess this sin, and He will not look at you and say to you, "Hey, you, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to know you. You have done too much. You can never do too much wrong. You can never do too much wrong." God is faithful in His love. He is faithful to His eternal covenant promises. And He is just. Now that word just is critical. For how can God receive you tonight into His loving arms without Him punishing you? Sin has to be dealt with. It cannot be ignored. It cannot be overlooked. Sin is lawlessness against the character of God. It is breaking the law of God, and God in His holiness cannot and will not permit lawlessness without a punishment. God does not make decisions the way our law courts make them. God is just, and are we not thankful for that tonight, that God is just? Are we not thankful tonight that God will judge us correctly and according to His just personage, rather than tinkering about and sending and discussing and making deals with people? God is just. But how in His justice? How in His justice will He receive you tonight? How can He receive you? How can He say, "Come and confess"? How can He say, "Come to me and admit"? How can He say, "Come and acknowledge the reality of who you are"? And the same token say, "I'm not going to punish you. I'm not going to punish you. There is no punishment for you tonight as a sinner." It makes no sense. Until you look at His Son. You look at Jesus. And you see in the blood of Jesus His justice satisfied. You see in the death of Jesus, who knew no sin, the death of Jesus, who never spoke, thought, or engaged in any deed of sin, you see in the death of Jesus Christ the atonement of your sin because of the love of God. That's why you can come. You come as a sinner. You come freely. You come because He has lavished His wrath upon His Son. And you come in His name, and you come in His cleansing blood, and you come and you're cleansed from all and every aspect of your unrighteousness. The debt will be paid. The stain will be removed. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us from our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In verse 10, He tells us, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, the person you see is admitting that they are a sinner. But they're saying that they haven't sinned. They're conceding that they are a sinner and possess that sin by an inborn disposition. And yet they're denying the fact of the reality of that practice in their lives. The vocabulary has changed in our society, hasn't it? Not too many decades ago, when a man slept with a woman who wasn't his wife, it was adultery. Today it's having an affair. Not too many decades again, when a man or woman stole a possession of someone else, it was theft. Now it's helping yourself. Not too many decades ago, taking and exercising an attitude of mind and heart that was determined as selfish, sinful practice is now defined as standing up for your rights. Sodomy has become being gay. Sexual immorality, well, that's just having pleasure. Culture of our society today says we have not sinned. Yes, we may be sinners, but we don't sin. If we admit that we're sinners, we do so as a joke. The reality is we don't see sin for what it is. Man is not a sinner if he does anything that is wrong. In saying such things, God says we make God to be a liar. Now let's stop and think about that. When people say that they do not sin because they're not a sinner, they are deceiving themselves. The veil has not been lifted from their eyes. If they by some perverse joke say that they are a sinner but they don't sin, or if they are those who genuinely profess faith in Jesus Christ and say we do not sin, then they say of God that he is a liar. Imagine saying of God that he is a liar. I think we need to take great care. It's probably fair to say that tonight many of us in this building would not say that we do not sin. We would admit that we are sinners and that we sin. But is it not the case that there has possibly been in our lives a reductionism, if I can use that phrase, in terms of our sinfulness? Such is the influence of our culture that we who would say that sleeping with another man's wife is sin, men, we look at another man's wife and we look at her inappropriately and wrongly, and yet we don't say it's sin. We who would say that the taking of someone else's belongings is theft, they say it's helping yourself. We who do not give ourselves to redeeming the time and pursuing righteousness, we who say that they stand up for their rights and they want through their selfish desires to pursue their rights, and yet within our own heads and our own minds, when it comes to making a decision concerning the righteousness of the way in which we should walk, if we actually peel it back, we will find within our own core that same element of rottenness that says, I won't because I want my rights. We don't articulate it, we don't verbalize it, but the reality is deep within our own pride-filled hearts, there is this, I want my way. You see, we run the danger of looking at this situation and saying, of course we are sinners. And then we move on. But we need to dalliance. We need to rest. We need to stop and think about this. Because is it not the case that we who would offer the positive statement that we are a sinner, in reality, have reduced sin down to so much of that which is external that we never ever address or seldom address until God really comes at us and really lays his hand heavy on us and strips away through discipline or hard times or trials. We never really come to understand the inner veracity of the sinfulness of our own hearts. We negate the fact that we are sinners and that we do sin in thought and word and deed. And we don't go to God and we don't say to God, God, reveal my sin to me. Show me my sin that I may have it dealt with. We don't come out and say I'm not a sinner. But in reality, when was the last time, and be honest, when was the last time you actually consciously confessed an actual sin in your life? When was the last time you actually identified and confessed a sin in your own life? We're not saying we don't sin, but we can develop patterns of just ignoring the sin, pretending it's not there, saying to ourselves, well, God deals with my sin. Yes, God will deal with my sin, but God says, I will deal with it if you confess it. If you confess it. And so whilst John is writing here to men who are saying, if we say that we have not sinned, then we make God out to be a liar. And he's addressing those who are teaching the fact that you're not a sinner, you haven't done any sin. Then he's pointing them to the reality that that is not true. That's not true. We need to take care that we in our own lives don't avoid the realities of these truths. We need to avoid that if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness. Yes, he's talking about perpetual darkness there. He's talking about continual darkness. He's talking about walking a long distant road of darkness. But we need to take care that if we say we have fellowship with God and we dip into the dark path occasionally, we rest in that dark path, that we don't sit in that dark path and we talk with those who are on that dark path, we need to take care that we don't avoid that reality. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Well, we admit that we're sinners. We have confessed our sin. But the fact is, do we actually understand that by nature we are sinners? And that we need to acknowledge that fact every day in our lives? We cannot live in a world where we deny, albeit in our heads, the truthfulness of the fact that I am by nature a sinner. As I said this morning, we often characterize ourselves by the fact of who we're married to, how many children we have, what our job is, what our hobbies are. But the reality is, those characteristics are not who we are. We are sinners. We are sinners who by God's grace have been saved from that sinful way of living. And if we haven't, I call you tonight to cry out to God and experience that salvation. And if we say we have not sinned, or we're not sinning, we're not engaging in sinful practice, yes, we may not be engaging in sinful practice openly, but in our hearts we may be titillating and titillating that which we are hiding away. And we have to be honest. Why would we deceive ourselves? Why would we lie to ourselves? And why would we lie to God? For remember, God is light. And he sees and he knows everything. For his light shines into every access place in the world. His light shines into it all. And he sees it all. So why would we lie? What's the point of lying to someone who sees it all? If we say, go home tonight. Thank God for the fellowship you can have with God. Thank God that you know that you are by nature a sinner. Thank God that by His grace you know that you actually do sin. And confess that sin. Really do it. Go to God in the person of Jesus Christ and confess it. Confess it. For He is able and willing and faithful and just to forgive that sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.